Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I guarantee when you were born, your mom or your dad didn't look at you and say, I hope they turn out to be foolish. I hope they make the dumbest mistakes. I hope that they are just a big dummy. No, that's not what your parents were doing as they were holding you as a precious newborn babe. No, there was hope. There is a hope that you would be. There's a hope that you would become. There's a hope that you would make right and wise decisions. Listen, none of us want to be a fool. Who wants to be called a fool? None of us wants to be called a simpleton. None of us want to make foolish decisions because foolish decisions have a cost. Foolish decisions can actually cost you. In fact, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And so with this understanding, we look at this verse and we hear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need to understand then, where does this knowledge come from so that I might not be able to be a fool? Because I want to be a wise person. I want to be a person that makes wise decisions. I want to be a person that doesn't make foolish decisions. I want to make the right decision on where I go to college. I want to make the right and wise decision as to who I'm dating and who I refuse to date. And I want to make a wise decision on who I'm going to marry. And I want to make a, trust me, you want to make a wise decision when it comes to who you're going to marry. Amen? Okay, that didn't go over so well. Amen? Yeah, the people that are married are saying amen the loudest, okay? You want to make a wise decision when... Amen. Oh, you're not married. Okay, she's available over here to my right. Back to wisdom and foolishness. Where does this kind of knowledge come from? Well, Solomon helps us understand that. Would you look at verse 8? My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. This knowledge is going to make you beautiful. This knowledge is going to help you make wise decisions. This knowledge is like it's a garland, it's a celebration. That's why they would put this garland around your neck and on your head. They were celebrating the person that you become, and whether it was a birthday or whether you became the president or whether you became the king, this garland would be around your neck kind of as a celebratory thing to say, wow, this person has made so many wise decisions that now we're celebrating the position that God has put them in. And so we ask ourselves the question, then where does this knowledge come from so that my life can have this kind of celebration? Well, if you're taking note, it's the first of three. We've got to heed spiritual authority. We've got to heed spiritual authority. Now, spiritual authority comes from the Word of God because it's inspired by God. And oftentimes, the Word of God is spoken by the spiritual authority in your life. And I want you to see the spiritual authority that's here. The first, listen, the mom, don't forsake the law. Don't forsake the law of your mom. Because this word law, it means the teachings. Don't forsake the teachings of your mother. Listen, a mom, gentle. A mom, kind. When I say something to my kids, it's like this. Get up. When my wife says something to my kids, it's more like this. Now, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. It's time to stand up. Me, get up. Big difference between mom and dad. Because a mom brings across the word with kindness. A mom brings the idea in the Bible is that the mom, that Jesus even said, how I long to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chick. There's a gentleness in the investment of the word of God into our lives. And here's what the investment of the word of God does in our life. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. The writer of Hebrews says this, that when we are in the word of God, so he uses the phrase, by reason of of use, so we're in the Word of God, we're hungering for the Word like you're here tonight, we will be able to discern what's good and evil. And so my encouragement is that you've got someone in your life that's investing the Word of God into you, gentle and kind. Now, I love these televangelist preachers. I've said in my church this past Sunday, I would love to like turn off the sound. I love to turn off the sound and just watch them. I just love to watch them. And you just see them like this. And it's like, wow, you look angry. Like, you look mad. You know, just go to a television station, turn down the volume, and just look at them. Their faces contorted. They're slamming on the pulpit. They're like going like this. It's like, wow. No, listen. A mom teaches the Word. A mom. The Word of God should come across gentle and kind, because that's who God is. But there's another side of the spiritual authority. He says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Now, that word instruction is the word discipline, because that's what dads do. Typically, in a biblical perspective, the dad is the one that brings the instruction, brings the discipline, holds them accountable. So not only is my spiritual authority investing into me, no, my spiritual authority also is an accountability for me, so that I know that what they're teaching me, I'm actually walking in, and I'm choosing to take a path that walks towards righteousness. Paul, when he wrote Titus, he said this. Hey, Titus, I want to remind you something. Now, this is Chet English. Sorry about that. But he says, Titus, hey, I want to remind you something. I left you in Crete for a reason. And I'm sending you this letter because I'm kind of holding you accountable for the reason that I sent you in Crete. You were supposed to establish elders. You were supposed to establish leadership. And I'm writing you this letter to remind you, to hold you accountable as your spiritual authority. You have a job to do. Hey, gang, let me be a spiritual authority for just a moment. Besides, I'm the one with the mic, right? You have a calling in your life. Let your light so shine. Now, I want to hold you accountable to that. I want you to walk in that kind of wisdom. And whether you're at school or wherever you are, you have an opportunity to live that kind of life, because that's the kind of life. Now, just imagine I'm following you. Just imagine now I gently speak to you and I say, hey, like the mom voice, let your light so shine before men. But listen, when you go to school and you're about to cheat on your test, then you hear dad's voice, let your light so shine. Or you're in the backseat of that car, or you're in the movie, and all of a sudden, you're sitting there in the movie, and your girlfriend's sitting right next to you, and then all of a sudden, your hand just kind of, you yawn, and all of a sudden, your hand just is around on the other side of her shoulder, and then your fingers are kind of like creeping up her shoulder, and I want to be right behind you in the movie theater and go, let your light so shine. See, there's the dad voice. The mom voice is going to communicate the Word of God with kindness, but the dad voice is going to come across with authority, and sometimes we don't like that authority. My daughter, Selah, she blessed me tremendously, and I was talking about her the other day, and she wanted to go somewhere, she wanted to do something, and I said no. And she goes, who do you think you are? No, that's not what she said. You know what she said? Okay. She hung up the phone. No attitude. No issues when I got home. No going back and forth with her mom. I can't believe dad said this. No, it was a spiritual authority. The word has been invested. She desires to be blessed by God. And she goes, okay. So I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I'm not going to do what you told me to do. I'm not going to give you attitude in one light or the other. And then she ended up babysitting on the day that she wanted to go out. She still had a great attitude and a great heart. You see, that's why moms and dads spiritually are in our life, to teach us, to influence us, and to hold us accountable. It's so important that we heed spiritual authority, because there's so many voices crying out to us to go one of two ways. We will either take the good road, or we will take the bad road. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, there's two trees. There's a good tree and a bad tree. Bad tree can't bear good fruit. Good tree can't bear bad fruit. You will know them by their fruits. Listen, you've got one of two roads in all of the decisions that you are making, to go this way or to go that way. It's your decision. So in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, after this spiritual instruction, listen now to the counsel, my son. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Listen to the selfishness. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Now, very few of us in our lifetime, is someone going to come up to us and go, hey, we'd like to murder someone. Why don't you come along with us? Very few of us are going to have that opportunity. Now, we may feel like murdering someone someday, but the truth is we're probably not going to have someone come to us and go, hey, I'd like to murder someone. But, oh, I'll never forget it. It was about 4 years ago, and there were these kids, and they were at this high school. And at this high school, two of the kids were bullying this one little kid. And so they rallied a bunch of other friends. Hey, let's go bully this kid. He's such a punk. He's such a little whiner. He's such a little baby. And they just worked up these kids. And there was about 12 kids out from these two kids. They gathered 10 other kids, and they went and they attacked this little kid. They were so dumb. They videoed themselves and put it on Facebook, all of their faces. And they're just like laughing as they're pushing the kid and they're throwing the kid and they're doing all of these things. And they're like putting their, Johnny, why don't you? And I don't know if one of them's name was Johnny, but it's kind of like, hey, Paul, hey, Johnny, what are you doing to the kid? And they're doing like a Facebook Live thing right there on all of social media. So here's what happened. Kid is beat up. Kid goes to some kind of authority and he communicates. They go to the kids who he names, and all of them deny it. So you know what they do in the room? They simply played the social media. They played Facebook Live, and there they are. Hey, Johnny. Hey, Paulie. And let me tell you something. All 12 of them got expelled. Even the 10 that didn't even know the kid. They just kind of recruited them to bully them. And all 12 of them got expelled. All 12 of them, their lives, and still today, I know some of them, they're still going that direction because they were enticed. Now listen, some of us, and probably any of us, will ever get asked to murder someone, but every single person in this room will be enticed. Someone trying to persuade you. Our second point, I want you to write it down. You got to resist the devil. That's what the Bible says. You have to resist him. Someone is going to persuade you to do something foolish, something that's not right, something that's bad, and something that's evil. I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. I've loved to fish my whole life. I'm from the Bahamas. That's what we do. We fish and we eat fish. That's just what we do. And so we used to go to this island called Treasure Key in Abaco in the northern Bahamas. And I would humbly ask as a Bahamian that you pray for the Bahamas because Maria is on her way up the spinal cord of the Bahamian Islands. And she's a Category 5 hurricane. And so when I was younger, probably about 9-10 years old, my cousin and I, we wanted to go fishing off the dock in Treasure Key. But we didn't have a line and we didn't have a hook. So he came up to me and he goes, I know how we can get one. I go, how? He goes, we're going to go into the harbor shop and I'm going to pretend like I'm going to throw up. So everyone will come around me and then we will go, you go to the back of the store, put some hooks and some line and a bobber in your pocket and then we'll walk, you walk out as I'm doing this throw up thing. When you're out, I'll go, oh, I feel much better and we'll leave. And I go, I think this is stealing. And he goes, no, we'll borrow it. And I go, no, I think this is stealing. I don't think we should do this. And my cousin says, no, we need to do this. If you want to fish or not? I mean, aren't you a fisherman? What kind of fisherman are you? What are you going to do? Just let the fish just swim around below you? You got to catch those fish. And now he's like cheerleading me into this thing. So guess what? I walk into the store. He goes in the front of the store. I run to the back, put a little hooks in my pocket. I hope they're not listening to this. Put a little hooks in my pocket, put some line in my pocket, got a lead in my pocket. And I walk out the store as he's doing this whole thing off to the side. We get out and we start fishing. We're catching fish. Everything's great. And around 9 or 10 years old, the Holy Spirit knocks on my heart and goes, "You're a thief." And I go, "No, no, no, we're just borrowing." "You're a thief. You gave in to peer pressure is what you did. You made a wrong decision." So you know what I did? I undid the knot. I put the hooks back in my pocket. I went back into the harbor shop, and I tried slipping the hooks and slipping the line back into the little sections where they were. Unfortunately for me, one of the hooks grabbed my pocket as it was coming out. Now I'm sitting in the back trying to undo this hook. Now I'm the thief returning the material, looking like I'm stealing the material, and the clerk starts coming back. I'm going, "I need something." So my cousin goes to the front. He starts throwing up again. Now we're 9 or 10 years old. They start to get the point, right? Oh, here's what happens. We have a passion to please because we want to be accepted. We want people to like us. And so quite oftentimes we'll give in to peer pressure because we have a desire to be accepted. And Jesus says, "Come to me. I'm not like that. My burden is light. I don't do the peer pressure thing. I died for you." Oftentimes, maybe it's not peer pressure. Maybe it's personal pressure. I have a desire to succeed, so I'm going to lie about my workmate so that he looks bad or she looks bad so I can look better. And I've got this personal pressure to succeed, and so I'm going to compromise just a little bit and go the bad road, go the evil road, but I want you to hear the counsel of Solomon. He says this, look at verse 15, "My son, don't walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." Would you hear the counsel of the wisdom of God? He says, don't walk the evil way. Look back, if you would. Would you just go up with me just to verse 10? Look at the counsel. He says, "My sons, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Don't give in to them. Don't go their way. You guys, would you listen to me? Listen to the word of God for just a moment. Because I know you've heard this 100 times. Don't go the way of evil. It never works out. The word of God is giving us an illustration and helping it to understand with clear direction. It doesn't work out. Let me explain what he says. Go on, verse 17. "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." You see, God is only telling us not to go the way of evil because he knows the result of evil. He's only being emphatic with "do not" because he knows the other side of what it does. I know the Marlboro man is kind of cute with his little cowboy hat sitting on his horse somewhere in Montana smoking a cigarette. I want to see him when he's 75 and got lung cancer. I watched a video the other day. This video was of a woman. She's HIV. She was dying of AIDS. She began to tell about her life of promiscuity. She has no idea how she got the disease. All she knows is the lifestyle that she lived. Now you might say, "Chet, come on, don't do the emotional thing. Don't go there. Don't like do the sensational thing." God is. Don't do it. Because God knows the end result of it. That's why he's being sensational. That's why he's being so emphatic. Because when you go the evil road, he makes it very clear, it takes away the life of its owners. Because that's the goal of evil. The goal of evil is to destroy. And that's why God's saying, just don't go that way. Now listen, have you ever seen those cartoons where there's an angel on one side and a devil on the other? And it's kind of like the angel is like Jiminy Cricket, right? That's just dated myself. But the angel is kind of like this, you know, oh, you know, it's got a little halo. The whole angel's flapping this whole thing. And I don't know why they always make those angels look effeminate, right? It's kind of like, oh, you better not go that way. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? Do you know that two angels destroyed the entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah? And you're going to make an angel look feminine? No, this is like a swordsman. This is like He-Man on steroids. You know, it's kind of like, that's the angel, right? And he's going, you better not go that way. I don't know how they sound, but it's one of those things, right? It's got a James Earl Jones voice kind of thing. And then you've got the devil, who is the wimp. He should sound like this. You better go this way, you know. But he is the wimp, and he's sitting on this other side, and he's going, you better go the way of evil. You better do this. And the angel's going, no, you better not, because there's always a choice. And you'll always have this pull to go this way because the world and your flesh and the enemy is against you. But God is on your side, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so he's here saying, no, go the right way. Go the way of God. Don't go the way of the enemy. It's going to lead to destruction. So we got to determine which voice we're going to listen to and take a look at verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, all the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. It's our final point. We got to ask for wisdom. We got to ask for wisdom. And I want you to see the difference between wisdom and evil. If you remember, verse 11, go back, look at it if you would. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly. Wisdom. Hey, I'm over here, everybody. If you want wisdom, she cries out loud in the square, in the garden. She's everywhere, and she is saying, you better come my way. But what does evil do? Hey, psst, psst, you want to come this way? And I got a word of counsel for you. If you have to do it in secret, it's probably not the wisest decision to make. Like if you're dating your girlfriend and you don't want your parents to know, that's a problem. If you're dating your boyfriend and you don't want your parents to know, that's a problem. If you don't want your friends to know, that's a problem. I wish I would have learned that problem. When I was in eighth grade, I went up to a girl, her name was Angela, and I said, will you go out with me? That's what we used to do. We used to say that, okay? Will you go out with me? She goes, yeah, I'll go out with you. She goes, just don't tell anybody. You'll go out with me? You're like the prettiest girl in the school? Oh my goodness, and you don't want me to tell? I'm not telling a soul. So I walk home, I'm going out with Angela. You know, I'm like, Mr. Man, I'm walking home, going out with Angela. And I walk up to her the next day and she goes, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna tell anybody, me and you. And I'm like walking out, right? Then I go up to the next day, she goes, shh, don't tell anybody. I go, okay, I'm not telling me. 6 weeks later, I finally got it. She wasn't telling anybody because she was dating somebody else and she didn't want to hurt my feelings. And I'm looking at this thing, wow, you want to keep this thing secret because you're going to hurt me. And that's exactly what's going to happen, and that's what the enemy's doing you. He's keeping it a secret because he wants to hurt you. He wants to hurt you. That's what the enemy does. But wisdom cries out loud. Wisdom's unashamed. Wisdom's not embarrassed. The Bible says that wisdom is peaceable in James chapter 3. The Bible says that wisdom is willing to yield. The Bible says that wisdom bears fruit and you're able to see it. Wisdom is not ashamed. Wisdom is out loud. And so you've got to do it secretly. I guarantee it's probably not the best choice. You see, wisdom has fruit. And wisdom, the Bible goes on, would you look at verse 22? Because here becomes the problem of why people don't want to choose wisdom. Verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. I want to read you this again because I don't know if it offended you, but it offended me, okay? Let's look at this again. How long, you simple ones, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I want you to look at your neighbor and go, you little simple one. Go ahead, just look at your neighbor and go, you simple one. In fact, do it like this. Do it with a little like, you simpleton. You simpleton. Now, I got good news for you. The Bible says that the word of God makes the simple wise. So I would like to be a simpleton because I want to approach the word not as if I know, but as if the word of God knows. But the problem with wisdom, it's very bold. It's very courageous. Wisdom is not afraid to tell you like it is. She's honest. And she will look at you in the face and she will say to you, you're wrong. You're in sin. You're acting like a simpleton. And we don't like that. We don't like to be wrong. We don't like for someone to tell us we're wrong. We don't like, and what is the word of God doing here? You simple ones, we don't like that. So some of us will reject wisdom because we don't like to hear that we need to learn. The Bible doesn't beat around the bush. If you're a liar, it says you're a liar. If you're a stealer, it says you're a thief. The Bible goes on to say that premarital sex is wrong. It's just wrong. Bible goes on to say homosexuality, it's wrong. The Bible's not afraid to call it. It's not politically correct. It says slander is wrong. Gossip is wrong. Wrath is wrong. And those who don't want to change, well, the Bible makes it clear here. Would you look at verse 22 again? Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So what they try to do is say, well, we don't have an authority, and God is not real. In fact, God is dead, because we want to live life the way that we want to live, and we don't want the wisdom of God, because we want to satisfy our flesh. And they begin to scorn or mock God and his word, because they want to live their own life. But listen to wisdom. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Do you hear wisdom? Wisdom says, hey guys, I know you're simple. Wisdom says, hey, I know you need some understanding. Wisdom says, you're probably gonna make some mistakes, but when you do, turn. Repent. Choose to go the way of God. I'm only pointing out the wrong to get you to go to the right. I'm only pointing out the evil so that you can choose to do the good. That's what the word of God does. Let me tell you something. When a mom sees their child running to the street, that mom doesn't go, Johnny, stop, Johnny. Oh, Johnny, come back now. That's a big truck. You'll be flat, okay? Come on, Johnny. There's no way. I have seen my children run to the street, and I have seen a mad woman, Micaiah, doing everything she can to get his attention. I have a new plan. If I was still having children, which we are not, we have been fruitful and multiplied. We have 9. God bless all of them. We pray. Here's the deal. The other day I was out with my neighbors, and their dog charged towards the street. And all of a sudden the dog stopped. And I go, why did the dog stop? My neighbor goes, well, you see that collar? And I go, yeah. And he goes, see this little button? I go, yeah. He goes, all I do is press this button, and he hears beep. And I go, well, what's that other button? Oh, when I press that button, he gets a zzzt. So now he's learned that the zzzt is coming, that when he hears the beep, he stops because he doesn't want the zzzt on his neck. And I said, can I have 9 of those, 1 for each of my children? And then I thought to myself, no, I don't want a collar for all my children. I want a collar for all of you. And that when you're about to sin, beep, just a little reminder. And then if you continue in a foolish way, I get to press the button. And it begins to happen. So after a little while of getting the shock treatment, you will listen to the beep. Can I tell you this? That beep is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will constantly go beep, beep, because he doesn't want you to feel the zzzt of a foolish decision. That's truth. So listen to what those decisions cost you. He says, I've called you, verse 24, and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Then they will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Hey, God, I don't want to eat the fruit of my own way. I know I thought I wanted that, but man, I didn't know it would feel like this. I don't want to taste my own fancies. I don't want to go that direction, God. Because, wow, I didn't realize a storm would come upon me. I didn't realize I was going to have so much destruction come all around. I didn't realize I was going to be in so much anguish. I didn't realize that all of these things were going to come upon by making this decision. Let me tell you something. I didn't realize that foolish decisions were so devastating. Let me tell you about sin, man. Sin defiles. It corrupts. I accidentally left garbage in my car overnight with the windows up. It corrupted my car. It defiled my car. I can still smell it a week later. The garbage. That's what sin does. Sin degrades. It makes you feel low. It makes you feel like you're in anguish. Sin diminishes you. It just knocks you out of all the potential that God has for you. Sin devalues us. It devalues us. It stops us from living up to all that God has for us. See, God knows that. That's why he gives the direction. Don't go their way. Don't consent. Don't be involved with them because you're going to reap what you've sown. The Bible says in verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. You can choose to go to the way of evil, or you can choose to be indifferent and just simply not go the way of good and just simply be. Either way, it's going to destroy you. Don't go that way. But I want you to see hope. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. The wisest decision that you can make is go the way of wisdom. Because in it there's safety and there's security. And wisdom is calling out tonight. His name is Jesus. And he says, I've given you my word. We call it the Bible. It's been coined basic instructions before leaving earth. And as your creator, I wrote the manual. I know the best possible life you can have. But I gave you a will and you get to choose. And I'm also telling you, I'm letting you know, go the way of wisdom. Go the way that I've instructed. But if you've gone a different way, I got great news. I redeem. I restore. I renew. I refresh. And because I knew you might make a foolish decision, I died on a cross. And I died on a cross for you. Would you pray with me? Father, I am so grateful for your word. And I'm so thankful because I would be the fool, because I am the simpleton. And without your word, I wouldn't know how to discern good and evil. I wouldn't know to go the second mile, and I wouldn't know not to use profanity. I would be the fool. So, Lord, I'm just grateful that you're continuing to make this simpleton wise by your word.